This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop. There's been a nationwide conversation about implicit bias since last month's arrest of two African-American men at a Philadelphia Starbucks. The men were waiting to meet a friend when the store managers called the police, saying they refused to make a purchase or leave. The incident has fueled discussions about the prevalence of racial discrimination in public spaces. As KUT's Saida Hassan reports, it's a reality that's all too familiar for many Austin residents of color.
Layla Abdennabi was relatively new to Austin in December 2015. One Sunday morning, she and a friend, Surat Al-Nahi, made plans to get breakfast at Kirby Lane Cafe on Guadalupe Street.
Finding a parking spot in their little tiny parking lot is really difficult. So I dropped Surat off at the front door.
While Abdennabi was parking, her friend was in the restaurant's waiting area. That's when, Abdennabi says, an older white man began insulting her driving. He said things like she should just go back to Saudi Arabia where she came from. Abdennabi isn't from Saudi Arabia, by the way. Her friend confronted the man, and then things got even uglier. He asked whether she had a gun and told her, just shoot me.
So after I park, I go inside and I find Surat, you know, bawling, crying.
A Kirby Lane employee seated the man and his wife at a table. They seated Abdennabi and her friend a few tables down. Once Abdennabi found out what happened, she asked a manager why the staff hadn't asked the man to leave. She also confronted the man who made the hateful comments.
As I was walking out, I started shouting, you know, just so everybody knows, you know, we experienced, you know, somebody said some really racist things to us here, and this establishment doesn't care about addressing it or doing anything about it. And one of the people that's just sitting at a table goes, yeah, nobody cares.
This all happened just days after the deadly shooting in San Bernardino, California. 14 people were killed when a couple opened fire at a party at a community center. Abdennabi wonders whether that fueled the hateful things this stranger said. She and her friend both wear the hijab. She knows that visibly Muslim women are often easy targets of Islamophobia. 3 years later, the incident is still with her. She says what bothers her most is that a restaurant full of people saw all of it and chose to do nothing.
To see this room full of people not care, not do anything, and just sit there and watch as if, like, we're some aliens from a different planet was shocking.
Kirby Lane's CEO publicly apologized in a blog post. On its Facebook page, the company wrote, quote, "The guest who made these hateful comments to another guest should have been asked to leave our restaurant."
Our team members did the best they could to handle the situation, and at that time, our training specifically states that if there are two guests in any sort of altercation, the best practice is to seat the parties separately and immediately.
Amanda Kuda is Kirby Lane's Vice President of Communication.
It caused further upset with the guests, and we can completely see why that happened, and this is why we've trained our team members in the future to better investigate a situation, better understand what's happening.
Today, the Kirby Lane incident has faded from the public conversation, but events like these are something that many Austin residents of color experience on a regular basis, in big and small ways. Hoshonda Sanders spent several years reporting in Austin. She now lives in the Bronx, and she recently wrote a piece about what it's like to be Black in Austin.
I think that there are so few places in our culture where we allow for nuanced conversation or constructive critiques.
When she moved to the city in 2005, Sanders says she fell in love with Austin, but she also felt a certain loneliness here. She found Austin to be a place that, quote, holds racial truths at arm's length. In 2012, Sanders wrote about the city's response to the Texas Relays. The annual track and field event brings tens of thousands of visitors to Austin. The crowd is predominantly African American. That year, one business owner closed several of his Sixth Street establishments during the Texas Relays. One of them even boarded up the windows. Around the same time, the old Highland Mall faced widespread criticism when it closed early during the relays, citing security concerns. Sanders says the reaction of these Austin businesses to an influx of Black visitors is telling, and it's worth reflecting on.
at the end of the day, it's not my responsibility or the responsibility of other people of color to do this work. We are not the ones with the power to make those changes.
The relays might be one of the starkest examples of how racial bias can play out in Austin's public spaces, but more often it's felt on a smaller scale. Jesus Valles moved to Austin from Long Beach, California in 2012. His friends told him he was headed to a liberal utopia, the quote, California of Texas. Valles quickly noticed that a big part of socializing here involves going out for food or drinks, and there were moments when he felt out of place.
I think a lot about those sort of small moments that happen at certain restaurants or certain establishments or venues where you might be at a restaurant and maybe it takes just a little bit too long for you to get served, or maybe sometimes you don't get served at all.
Valles talks about microaggressions, those subtle slights that made him wonder whether he was being treated differently as a person of color.
When you're saying microaggression, what you're actually saying is this is a moment of racism, right? Like you're saying, I am experiencing racism in a way that I don't know people know how to talk about, right? Because you feel like you're the only one catching it. And so there's this apprehension to say, no, I really do think it was something, because a part of you feels like no one around you is going to believe you.
Implicit bias is really popular right now.
Jermaine Awad is an associate professor of educational psychology at UT Austin. She studies the causes of prejudice and discrimination.
It's definitely made it out into the mainstream media. And essentially, it's just refers to the idea that we have these biases that we hold that we may not be aware of, and that they manifest themselves in situations such as what happened at Starbucks.
Awad says implicit racial bias plays out in virtually every public space, from bars and restaurants to workplaces and schools. It may take the form of a snide remark, or it can have more serious consequences, like someone being turned down for a job. She says one way to get past racial bias is to talk more frankly about it.
And I think that sort of framing it in a way where it's as gentle as possible, but getting your point across so that you don't shut down conversation, right? Because everyone wants to be a good person. Everyone wants to be a decent person. No one wants to be labeled as a racist.
On May 29th, Starbucks plans to close its 8,000 stores nationwide for racial bias training. Awad says that kind of training can be helpful, but to make a real cultural change, it has to be a more sustained effort. Saida Hassan, KUT News.